Scripture today is from Hosea 13, 1 through 8. When Ephraim spoke, there was trembling. He was exalted in Israel, but he incurred guilt through Baal and died. And now they sin more and more and make for themselves metal images, idols skillfully made of their silver, all of them the work of craftsmen. It is said of them, those who offer human sacrifice kiss calves. Therefore, they shall be like the morning mist, or like the dew that goes away early, like the chaff that swirls from the threshing floor, or like smoke from a window. But I am the Lord your God from the land of Egypt. You know no God but me, and besides me there is no Savior. It was I who knew you in the wilderness, in the land of drought. But when they had gazed, they became full. They were filled, and their heart was lifted up. Therefore they forgot me. So I am to them like a lion. Like a leopard, I will lurk beside the way. I will fall upon them like a boar robbed of her cubs. I will tear open their breasts, and there I will devour them like a lion, as a wild beast would rip them open.
Thanks, Lauren. As you may know, our family just moved into an old farmhouse. The county records show that it was built in 1900, but we found from the previous owners who's got it from their parents, who got it from their parents, almost around that time. We found out from the previous owners that no one really knows when it was built. It just sort of shows up in the county records around 1905 and as having been built. And so they guessed 1900. When we first saw it, my wife and I, this was about 2 months ago, just before Thanksgiving or after, no, before Thanksgiving. We first saw it, we both loved it, but as you can imagine, as we looked a little deeper into the house itself, we found evidence of its age. In particular, if you would grace us with your presence, bring a marble, and at any point in the house, if you put it down on the floor, you'll watch it shoot in one direction or another. There's an impressive dip in a few places in the house, well, in every place, actually. But likewise, if you were to take a level, don't do that, don't bring one. Because if you were and put it on the wall, immediately the level or the bubble disappears. And so if you then go down with me into the basement, you'll see there's a few obvious reasons why the upstairs is out of whack. 120-year-old beams have cracked in probably three or four places, and so the whole house has begun to sag. Well, because the entire house literally is built on those beams, we've begun to repair them so that the house can last another 120 years. If the house's structure were to continue to fail, the house would eventually come crashing down. Well, here's the thing. That's chapter 13 in Hosea. That's the point of all of Hosea, but chapter 13 especially. It's made up of a series of five concise but familiar proclamations of God's judgment on Israel. And interestingly, in this chapter especially, as my illustration was intended to point out, all of them unite around one theme, and that is Israel's misplaced trust in a foundation that could not bear her trust. Israel had put her trust in a number of things that couldn't bear the weight of that. That is, the Israelites had built their lives upon certain things that were never meant to have lives built upon them. And so the whole thing was crashing down tragically. The inadequacy of the foundations that they had chosen to build on were giving out, and they were reaping and about to reap severe consequences. Those things were not meant to bear the weight of their trust. God alone was. God alone can do that. And so, Lord willing, here's what the next 2 weeks are going to look like. Five baptisms today and two of 5 points that Hosea makes in chapter 13. Next week we get 4 more baptisms, which is really exciting, in the last 3 points from this chapter. And here's what they are. I want you to hear these. And I want you to have them ringing around in your head for at least these 2 weeks as you consider, what are you building your life on? What is it in your life? What is it that your life is built upon? And here are the five: power, sense of power, a sense of being able to use the things in your life to control your circumstances or the people in your life. Power, blessing, gifts in your life, things, stuff, toys, rulers, that is, your government or kings or people that would protect you. Wisdom, that is your own wisdom, your own understanding of how the world works and your place in it and the place of the people around you. And the last one is fruitfulness, your family, your kids, your generations. The fruitfulness of the womb is how the Bible talks about it. Those were the things that Israel had built their lives upon. And Hosea's promise to them was that they were soon to experience the tragic inadequacy of those things. Lord willing, again, we'll look at the first two this week and the next three next, or the last three next week. And Lord willing, in so doing, we're going to be able to examine ourselves. Consider what we're building our lives on. We'll consider the things mentioned by Hosea and others where we have misplaced our trust, where our foundation is cracked or cracking, all in order that we might turn from those things to a more stable foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Let's pray that it would be so. God, there's a lot here, and yet it's good. It's good. We see lions ripping breasts open and laying cities to waste and death and destruction in these passages because Israel chased things that could not bear the weight of her trust. And that's harsh and hard and graphic and true and real. And we ought to see those things and have a measure of sobriety and soberness and fear and trembling even. We ought to have a measure of those things or we don't really understand this passage. And yet we also don't really understand the passage if we don't come away understanding that you offer forgiveness. All of the things that all people for all time have gone to the things of this world to get are ultimately rooted in you. We leave the one thing that can provide it for these things that can't. We leave life to get death. And so God, please help us this morning above all to realize that you offer to all who hear these words forgiveness, and life, and restoration, and a solid rock which can never crumble, a solid rock which we can build our lives and eternities upon. So please let the baptisms of this morning and the baptized's declaration that they now are building on Christ and in Christ alone, let that ring in our ears. Let the words of Hosea ring in our ears, even as we consider our lives, our own lives. Your grace is amazing. And so we pray that we would hear that plainly this morning and receive that plainly this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Look again with me at verses 1 through 3. That's where the first charge against Israel in this section is named by Hosea. When Ephraim spoke, there was trembling. Ephraim was a city, the most prominent city in the northern tribes of Israel, which was called Israel collectively. When Ephraim spoke, there was trembling. When Ephraim would talk, the nations would tremble. He was exalted in Israel and outside of Israel, but Ephraim and Israel as a whole incurred guilt through Baal, a false god, a pagan Canaanite god, and died. And now they sin more and more and make for themselves metal images, idols, skillfully made of their silver, and all of them the work of craftsmen. And it is said of them, and how many of us haven't heard this? If you had a nickel for every time you heard this said of someone, it is said of them those who offer Or it is said of them, those who offer human sacrifice kiss calves. Very familiar saying, right? Therefore, they shall be like the morning mist, or like the dew that goes away early, like the chaff that swirls from the threshing floor, or like the smoke of a window. And again, here's the thing. At one time, not at the time Hosea was prophesying, but at one time, not that long ago, for his hearers, Israel, and the city of Ephraim in particular, was rightly exalted and feared. They were a world power that when she possessed the kind of power for a time that made other cities and nations listen to her. They might not like what she had to say, but her power demanded that they listen, that they at least pay attention, at least give ear. Truly, when she spoke, Hosea says, there was trembling. Truly, Ephraim was exalted in Israel and among her neighbors. Over time, though, here's the thing. Israel forgot that her exalted status and power came from God. God deals with his people in the way of a covenant. He says, if you will obey me and follow me and I would be your God and you would have no other, I will bless you in ways that the world has never seen. And they did. And so he did. And so this power for them was a gift from God. But eventually, over time, she forgot that that exalted status and power was from God and continued exclusively at God's good pleasure. She forgot that her power was intended by God to display the glory of God. God blessed Israel as a nation, not because Israel was special, in the same way that God saved these people that were just baptized, not because there was anything in them. He saved them because he was special. She forgot that this power that was given to her was intended by God to display his glory, not hers. And so consequently, Israel stopped trusting in the God of power and started trusting in the power of God. You see the difference? She stopped trusting in the God of power and started trusting in the power of God. The power itself and the glory that came with it became her appetite and her desire, not the God who gave it. As if it were something, this power that could exist outside of God or that could be manipulated or bent to her will. And as a result of that, the Israelites, beginning with the city of Ephraim, like a cancer that starts somewhere in the body and spreads throughout it, began to sin more and more, Hosea said. Turning to other gods, Baal in particular, more and more, incurring more and more guilt before God, and eventually succumbing to judgment that was more and more severe, even, again, unto death. Foolishly believing that God's power now existed in themselves and in other gods, the Israelites came to believe that it was theirs to wield as they saw fit. They came to believe that they deserved even. We all do that to some degree, but they even went so far as to say we deserve symbols of the power that we have now. Look at us. The nations tremble when we speak. We deserve symbols and reminders of that. We don't do anything like that, do we? The houses we buy or the cars we buy or the clothes we wear. Luke talked about that in his testimony even. But they decided that they deserved symbols of this power that they were wielding. And so do you see what they did? They used the gifts that God gave them, the skill that God gave them, not to praise God and to show the glory and power and strength of God, but they began to use their skill to craft images and idols for themselves and their fake gods to exalt in what they had mistakenly come to believe was now their power, as if God had given it to them and they could do with it what they wanted. The more they lusted after and trusted in the power itself, the more depraved they came. Do you see what it says that they came to? The more depraved they came, even to the point that pagan nations, those that did not fear God, and they offered temple prostitutes. They gave themselves to temple prostitutes and offered sacrifices, the pagan nations did, and they were even disgusted by the things Israel was doing. The pagan nations saw and mocked the depravity and hypocrisy of the Israelites. Baal, whose symbol is a bull, a calf, required human sacrifices, it was believed, in exchange for access to his power, and the Israelites gladly complied. Their hypocrisy was so evident that it was said of them, those who offer human sacrifices kiss calves. Those who were supposedly known for worshiping God and God alone were now making signs and symbols of the power of Baal and kissing the calves and kissing this calf, this image, and offering human sacrifices. The Israelites had placed their trust in something, the power that God had bestowed upon them that could not bear them up. Their God-given military strength was not sufficient to sustain them. Only the God who gave them the strength was. You get that, Grace? They had begun to trust in the power of God rather than in the God of power. Hosea references Israel's God-given powerful past in verse 1. Her decadent present in verse 2, and then her future ruin in verse 3. We get the past, present, and future of hoping in the things and the gifts of God rather than God himself. Because of the fact that they were trusting in an inadequate foundation, they would, Hosea says, be like the morning mist, which is there for a while but quickly diminishes as the day dawns. Because of the fact that they had come to rely on God's gifts rather than God, they would be like the dew that is there but burns off as the sun rises. Because of the fact that they had placed their hope in something that couldn't bear it, this power, they would be like chaff that swirls above the threshing floor but is quickly carried away by the wind. Because of the fact that they had built their lives on military power, they would be like smoke in a window that is there for a moment but gone with a puff. Thus, as Hosea makes clear in verse 3, this pillar of power, this pillar that they had put their life's trust in, their nation's success in, their hope, their sense of significance in, was about to snap, and everything built upon it was about to come crashing down. Again, Grace, hear this and consider your own lives in light of this. What was meant by God to be a reward, this strength that caused the nations to tremble, what was meant by God to be a reward soon became a curse. What was meant to be perpetual, without end, would soon disappear. What was meant to bring life, the very thing that was meant to bring them life, he gave them the power to take the promised land and to thrive within it. What was meant to give them life for generations would soon bring death. And so this is a divine invitation. This passage was written thousands of years ago to a group of people very different than us. But nevertheless, it was written for us today as well. And it is a divine, in the sense that it is a divine invitation to look carefully at our own lives. For God has given us power too. None of us in this room have the kind of access to the kind of military power that Israel did. But every one of us have certain things that we have given ourselves to for protection and influence to shape the things around us, to control in our own minds anyway, the things in our lives. And every one of us have been lulled at times into trusting in those things instead of the God who gave them. In our home's basement, I'm currently building really massive beams to properly carry the weight of the house. What's more, I've installed several posts that allow me to slowly jack the house back up where it is sagged due to the faulty foundation. I'm working to build a sufficient foundation and repair the damage caused by the failure of the previous foundation. In the same way, Grace, take a minute, even right now, and consider what power you are trusting in for your own life. The power of your job, maybe, Matt talked about earlier. Or maybe it's your savings or your family. Maybe it's law enforcement. God can and certainly does use those things to lift up his people, and he uses those things through his people to rightly affect the world around us. But Grace, if we ever try to build our sense of safety and well-being on them, we too will crash eventually. They were not meant to, nor can they bear the weight of our trust. Where you find then that you've been trusting in some form of God's power rather than God himself, work quickly to take the weight off of it. Again, there's this beam in our basement that was hand-sawn at 1900, and it's cracked. You can see it. It's down over an inch, or at least it was. You can see it. And the thing that we needed to do was get the weight off of that and onto something that could truly bear the weight. Where you find that there is some power in your life that God has given you for good, and you're trusting in that thing rather than God, get the weight off of it as soon as you can. For there is only one sure foundation, that is God himself. If we build all or any part of our lives on anything else, it will crash. Well, here's the second one. The first one is power. The second one is blessing. 4-8. Israel's second cracked beam. The second inadequate object of her trust mentioned by Hosea in this chapter was the blessing that God had lavished upon her. It wasn't just the power, the ability to influence. It was the gifts themselves that God had given her. We've seen this before in Hosea more than once. But look again with me at 4-8 for another clarifying example of where Israel had misplaced her trust in the favor of God rather than the favorable God. But I am the Lord your God. But I am the Lord your God from the land of Egypt. You know no God but me. And beside me there is no Savior. It was I who knew you in the wilderness, in the land of drought. But when they had grazed, they became full. They were filled, and their heart was lifted up. Therefore they forgot me. So I am to them like a lion, like a leopard. I will lurk beside the way. I will fall upon them like a bear robbed of her cubs. That's some Discovery Channel level stuff right there. I will tear open their breast, and there I will devour them like a lion, as a wild beast would rip them open. And I did watch the Discovery Channel on YouTube to catch a glimpse of this. This isn't pleasant. In fact, it's maybe one of the most graphic ways that you could possibly describe God's view on them, to help Israel understand how ridiculous it was for her to put her trust in her blessing rather than the God, her blesser. Hosea began this section by reminding them exactly of who God is. Who is this God that you've taken your trust off of and put it onto something, anything else? Grace, just listen to the words of Hosea. He is God. There is no other God. There are no other gods. He is the only God, the only creator of heaven and earth, the only sustainer, the only one who can speak and things come into existence, the only one powerful enough to hold them in place and to keep them and to orchestrate all of them for His purposes. He is God. There are no others. He is the one who saved the Israelites from centuries, hundreds of years of Egyptian captivity. There are no other saviors, he says. He was the one who found them in the wilderness and cared for them when they were unable to care for themselves, when they would have certainly succumbed to drought. There are no other rescuers or sustainers, Hosea says. As kind and remarkable as God's saving, rescuing, and sustaining work is, God did not merely allow Israel to survive. He didn't merely allow her to survive and limp along. Hosea wants them to hear this. You're chasing other gods. You're leaving this God for pagans and pagan gods and images, and you're offering child sacrifices. Remember the God that you're leaving for these things. He's not only your creator, not only your savior, not only your rescuer, not only your sustainer. He didn't merely allow you to survive. He caused you to thrive. He gave you, Israel, the good food. Not just food, good food, and allowed you to eat freely. God blessed Israel with full stomachs and uplifted hearts. In other words, God gave Israel everything she needed for life and joy and prosperity in Him. She was given abundant food to eat, physical and spiritual, and invited to eat until, Hosea says, she became full. What should have caused them to rejoice? What should have caused them to dance in the streets with gladness, overwhelmed with gratitude and constant obedience, instead, though, led them to forget God and look only to His blessings. Just like God gave them power and they left God for the power, God gave them blessings and they left God for the blessings. Hosea says Israel ate and ate at the table of God, such that she no longer remembered what it was like to be hungry, such that she no longer remembered where the food even came from. Therefore, worse still, as with the power God had given, Israel convinced herself that the blessings could exist apart from the blesser. And once again, then, the consequences for trusting in something, God's blessings, that could not possibly bear the weight of their trust, kindled God's jealous love to the point that only destruction awaited Israel. It's difficult, again, to imagine more graphic language concerning the way God felt towards Israel's forgetfulness and idolatry and what He intended to do in response to it. Like a lurking predator. I have a friend who came to faith in Christ, and part of his testimony is that he was a park ranger out in Colorado in the mountains, and he literally had a mountain lion attached to his head. And he survived and gave glory to God. But that's what Israel's facing right here. There's a lurking predator. One of the things my friend said is as soon as you see a mountain lion, it's too late. Hosea is declaring to them, there is one there. There's a lurking predator, like a lion, like a mother bear. God promised to devour and rip them open. His anger burned and his justice would be executed. Israel had gradually shifted the object of her trust. She had gradually begun to trust and build on a different foundation than God himself. Hosea warned Israel of this fact and of the fact that she would soon, therefore, come violently crashing down. Grace, again, hear this. Those are all facts, but here's where it lands for you and I. The great tragedy in all of this is the fact that those who choose the blessings of God, hear this, please hear this. Those who choose the blessings of God get neither God nor his blessings. But those who choose God get both God and the blessings. Do you hear that? Let me say that again. It is so sad to look at these people. It is so sad to look at ourselves. It's so sad to look at these people in this passage, look in on them and see that the obvious reality that Israel had left the only thing that could provide her blessings for the thing that could only provide her death. Israel had left the only thing that could provide her the blessings she so earnestly desired for a thing that could only provide death. The great tragedy, again, in all of this is that if we leave God, we get neither him nor his blessings. Again then, in this passage, we find another divine invitation to carefully consider the foundation we're building on. Hosea here demands that his hearers, including you and I today, ask, Grace, ask, do you treasure God or merely the things he can give you? Do you treasure God or merely the things that he can give you? Do you see God as the blessing? Do you see God as the blessing or the means to the blessing? That's maybe the most important question you can ask. Do you see God as the blessing or as the means to the blessing? Is the greatest news of all time that through Jesus you can have an everlasting fellowship with God? Or is it that through Jesus you can have everlasting fulfillment of all the desires of your flesh? Perhaps no one has framed this question better than local pastor in a book called God is the Gospel. Again, hear this, Grace. If you could have heaven, how many of you want to go to heaven? Hopefully y'all do. If you could have heaven with no sickness, you know, some of you are feeling the weight of age or illness, or you are living with someone who is. If you could have heaven with no sickness, all your friends, everybody you care about, all of your friends that you've ever had on earth, and all the friends you wished you would have had, all the food you ever liked, it's like fogo de chao all day, every day. All the food you ever liked, and all the leisure activities, your golfer, it's there. Fly fisherman, it's there. I don't know what else you might like to do, but it's there. If you could have all that, if all of that was there, all the leisure activities you've ever enjoyed, all the ones you wished you were good at, you're good at now, all the natural beauties you ever saw, that one for me, when we go on vacation, some people take pictures of people, like their family that they're on the vacation with. I take pictures of the things we see because that is amazing to me, the way God has created this world. If you could have all that, view of every beautiful mountain peak and ocean sunset, all the physical pleasures you've ever tasted, no human conflict, no natural disaster. If you could have all of that, here's the question. You have to answer this. If you could have all of that, could you be satisfied if Christ were not there? That's the essence of this passage in Hosea. Where you find evidence that you love the things of God more than God himself, confess them as sin. Turn from them and ask God to help you again build on that which will never crumble. You're not turning from something that's truly satisfying. If you obey Hosea, you're not turning from something truly satisfying to God just because that's right. You're turning from something that's lying to you, that can never deliver on its promises, to the one thing that can. That's the essence of this passage right here. That's what Hosea is pleading with them to understand. Where you find evidence of greater love for your home or vacations or toys or family or health or hobbies, remember these words of Hosea. Remember the inadequacy of these things to bear the weight of your trust. And remember the fact that God is not only the blesser, but also the greatest blessing and the only sure foundation. So as I mentioned, here's my conclusion. In the introduction, chapter 13 has five specific sets it names five specific things that Israel had placed her hope in, her trust in. Each of them, and all of them collectively were inadequate. Saw the first two this morning, power and blessing. Next week, we'll see the last three, rulers, wisdom, and fruitfulness. Each of these graces are gifts from God. They were originally gifts from God. They were each expressions of God's favor to His people. They're not bad things in and of themselves. They were from God. Each of them were expressions of God's favor on Israel for her covenant faithfulness. Each of them were meant by God to bring life and joy. Instead, as we've seen over and over and over, maybe this is your first Sunday here. Welcome to Hosea, right? But if you've been here from the beginning, for many months, we've been in Hosea and we've seen this over and over and over again. That Israel misused them. They were meant to bring life and joy, but instead Israel put them in places that were meant to belong exclusively to God. Wrongly and dangerously built upon them, and thus was forced to watch as all that she had built came crashing down. Israel had placed her trust in things that could not bear it, and she already was experiencing the tragic result. I don't mean to suggest that these five things, power, blessing, ruler, wisdom, and faithfulness, are an exhaustive list of the wrong things we can build our lives upon, but I do mean to suggest that from the beginning of time, they've been among the most common. If you and I would consider each of them seriously, I'm confident that we'd all find several aspects of our lives that we've set on top of them to our eventual regret. And so, lastly, Grace, consider carefully what you're building your life upon. What is it in your life that if it were taken away, what created thing, what experience, what person, what relationship, what is it that if it were taken away from you would mean collapse in your life functionally? What is it in your life that you most fear losing? What is it that brings you the greatest joy? My guess is that at least some of those things fall under one of Hosea chapter 13's categories. So let's thank God. Let's thank God, therefore, for this nearly 3,000-year-old warning. Then let us heed it. Let us not just understand it. Let us heed this warning. And then let us begin to take the weight off of all that is not meant to bear it, and place it on the one thing that can, God Himself. That is the good news of Christianity, is that all of us have built on wrong things. Every one of us. Every one of us have loved and trusted in things that we shouldn't have loved and trusted in. But that is the good news of Christianity. Look today to Jesus, therefore, and find all that you were created for. All these things that you were made to be. All these things that make you human. All these things that you and I chase and other things. Let us look to Jesus today, therefore, and find all that we were created for and all that we are looking for in the things of this earth. Power and blessing and ruler and wisdom and fruitfulness, they all find their fullness in Christ and in Christ alone. And He is here, an offering to forgive and restore all that your cracked foundations have broken and give you new and everlasting life.